Hey, Becca, what's the best platform to sell an online course with?
The only answer is Kajabi. It's an all-in-one platform where you can host your course or your membership and your blog and your website and a podcast and your email all in one.
And even better, you can get a free 30-day trial of Kajabi to see why we love it so much.
See the links below or head to teachwellonline.com/Kajabi to get a 30-day free trial. And you can play around with your course, with your membership, and see all the tools it has to offer to grow your business. If you have not already downloaded our free Course Clarity Framework, you are likely teaching the right content to the wrong people. There is nothing more embarrassing than realizing that people are quickly exiting your content because, oops, I'm not the right person to hear this message. And we want to make sure your content reaches the masses and is sold like crazy. And you can do that by actually grabbing our free Course Clarity Framework. This will walk you through a few questions we have to help you unpack who are the right people for your content. If you haven't already downloaded our free Course Clarity Framework, you can do that right now. Scroll down in the show notes or head to teachwellonline.com/framework.
If you want to teach well online, hold their attention.
Welcome to the Teach Well Online podcast, where every week we are guiding you through the A to Z method on how to show up and teach well online. If you are new here, hi, hello, we're so glad you are with us. I'm Becca.
I'm Chad.
And together we make up Teach Well Online. In this episode, we are going to walk you through what is learning fatigue and how is this dangerous for your learner, what you can do to avoid it at all costs. Plus, we're going to give you 3 tips on how to make sure you are holding your learner's attention every step of the way, and you are not going to want to miss our guest. At the end of this podcast, Becca Foxwell is sharing incredible insights on how to deliver your content so it holds people's attention. Like I said, if you are new catching up on this series, welcome. You've got a lot to catch up on, my friend. We have started from A and we're going to go all the way to Z every week, teaching you how to teach well online, because we believe when you teach well, you will sell more. And we have seen so many mistakes and errors and even marketing messages just fall flat over the years for online business owners who believe that you can easily have a 6-figure launch, that you can easily make millions selling an online course, when the reality is the content was taught really poorly.
Yeah, and great point. So you would think that if you teach well, you will learn well, because there's this element of holding people's attention so that they're going to succeed when they're learning.
But you and I both know that just because you maybe have solid content, it's not going to be something that might hold the learner's attention.
No.
If you think back to our college days, which is where Chad and I met, we met at LSU, we started dating his last year of college. And among those years, we both took a class and one of us bombed it and the other one got the highest test score in the class.
And what you mean by bomb is fail.
Yes.
Like failing an entire course.
And so while I teased this out on Instagram, you guys, I am beaming with pride over here because I did not fail geology.
I did. Geology.
Chad failed
Sorry,
geology.
Sorry, Mom, if you're listening to this. I failed a course.
No, whatever. So here's the deal. Geology. First of all, did you have that professor that wore the like Hawaiian shirts? Is that who you had?
No, actually, this is really sad. My professor died like a month in. It was bad.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't so good. No.
Well, that took a dark turn. My geology professor, he was an old guy. Like he was like towards the end of his, you know, being a professor. He had like white hair, a white beard, and he wore like colorful Hawaiian shirts. Which is funny because I guess he did that to like hold people's attention now that I'm looking back.
Maybe,
but
yeah,
also to be unique. We're talking about him now. And that was like 2009. So anyways, something that I quickly learned in that class, because while I did end up getting very high test scores, my first test, I failed. Because, okay, so let's just go back to 2009. This was like the dawn on the new years of Facebook. And people had their laptops in class. And what are people doing in class with their laptops? Are they typing notes?
No.
No, they're on Facebook. And so, you know, I'm like scrolling and doing my thing, not paying a single bit of attention to this geology professor. And the time for the first test comes and I've got my blue book. I've got everything you need for the test, right? And I completely failed it. I remember getting it back and being like, there's an F at the top of my page. And like, that was a wake up call.
How did that make you feel, Becca?
I was like, oh my gosh, I just failed this geology test. Like what? This shouldn't be like, it's geology. And yes, you do have that like mindset of like, who cares about this class? But that was enough for me to be like, oh my gosh, I've got to figure something out. So then the very next class, I closed Facebook, I opened up like word processor, and I unlocked a key to what this professor was doing. I realized he was teaching every class, he would open up with a question. He would open up and ask a question about whatever, let's say it was like tectonic plates. He would ask a question about tectonic plates and then he would spend the entire class answering it. So what I learned to do was I would write that question at the top of my page and I would type out verbatim what he said.
He was teaching the test.
Yes. So what I then did was just memorized all of those questions because then, you know, a few weeks later when it came time for the test, I had just regurgitated onto that paper everything that he had said. And I got back a 97 on that next test because I just memorized what he said. I didn't actually learn the information, but when I unlocked the key, that got my attention, right? It wasn't that he was teaching engaging though, because as you said, like, I mean, you failed the class.
Yeah, I did. I mean, so you failed a test. I completely failed the class. I mean, geology is the study of rocks, right? Or something like that.
Yes.
I don't even know. And looking back on it, I remember how that made me feel. It was kind of this mixture of like, I felt like a failure, but I also completely didn't care. See, I was going to college for a purpose. I knew what degree I wanted to get. I knew what I wanted to major in. And I knew that the university was telling me, you have to take these classes just to become a well-rounded student and to get the credits for it. And so that forced me into things like calculus, because I do like math. And so I was in calculus, I was in geology, I had to take some basic sciences, yet I was there to study music and I didn't want to have anything to do with that. So I had a complete bad attitude about geology. I was tired, I didn't want to learn it, I wasn't motivated, and then my teacher wasn't helpful at all because it was a typical, you know, big lecture class where you had probably 100 kids in a big old auditorium, mm-hmm. and it was just like, today's chapter one and next week's chapter two, and then we take tests, and it was just not great, and so I failed it. And I think what really hit me was realizing that I spent a lot of money on that class, and they weren't going to let me graduate without the credits. And so I was like, okay, I have to retake it during a semester, which is going to add more hours, or I'm going to have to take a summer session, which I think I ended up doing was a summer session, which was some money, but I actually got through it a lot quicker.
Yeah,
and I just had to work really, really hard to do that. But
geology,
I'll never forget that. And that, honestly, to this day, it was the only class I ever failed.
Yeah, well, go you, because that wasn't my case.
So, I mean, if that's the badge that I have, is I failed geology, you can take it. But the reason I bring that up is because when you are teaching online, there is one thing as a teacher that you have to avoid at all costs. I call it the enemy of online teaching, and that's learning fatigue. Learning fatigue is when the learner becomes uninterested, becomes tired of learning, that doesn't want to learn. And it can come up in many different ways.
Yeah, when people get tired of learning. I mean, I have felt and I have seen and I have experienced people who it was too much content. I got into their course or I started listening to even their podcast and it was like, oh my gosh, this is a fire hose to the face of information. And I quickly tuned out because it was like, this is too much. They didn't listen to our bite-sized, you know, lesson, letter B. When it's too much content, that can easily cause learning fatigue. And then that actually leads to it's confusion. If they're presenting content, either it's too much or it's too little and it's not laid out properly. And you're like, what am I even hearing? There's nothing for me to like latch onto that makes sense.
Or maybe the teacher doesn't explain it well. And so as a learner, like they're talking, they're teaching, and you're just not picking it up because they're not explaining it. And you're like, I'm lost. I'm lost already.
Right. Which actually brings up another point when you can easily create learning fatigue if you are a talker and not a teacher. If you are literally just spewing information from your mouth and there's no objectives, there's no lesson order, there's no like reason for what you're doing.
Learning fatigue can come when what you're teaching doesn't really connect to the point of the lesson or even the point of the course. You're just throwing a bunch of extracurricular stuff in there that's just not quite connecting or making you any better or connecting any dots for you.
Which can actually then lead to you feeling like you're failing.
Completely.
I mean, it can make you feel like, well, I bought this online course for a couple $100s. It was supposed to be, you know, a time management course that's going to help me win at life. And I feel like I'm not winning at all because I actually don't understand what's happening because you're not making progress. So then you get a bad taste in your mouth for, you know, sometimes we're going to, you know, look at the actual, of course, the teacher, the online teacher who taught that to you, but then you're going to feel like a failure. It's like, what's wrong with me? And you don't want anyone to feel like that when they're inside of your course.
There are so many different reasons why somebody could start to exhibit learning fatigue. The problem is learning fatigue is like a virus. The second that the learner feels tired of learning from you, or they get too confused, or it's too complicated and they don't want to be in the lesson, or they don't want to be in the course anymore, it starts to infect them and it starts to spread, and they will eventually, or quite possibly, lose confidence in you as a teacher or the course, and they may not even finish. And here's the reality about learning fatigue. If you lose them in a lesson, you will most likely guaranteed lose them in the course.
And I'll even go a step further and say, if you lose them in a podcast episode, if you lose them on a YouTube video, you're never going to get them in your course. So if when you teach well, you will sell more. And part of that today is you will teach well when you hold their attention.
And that sounds like a lot of pressure, because we're not perfect people. None of us are perfect teachers, but there is an added expectation when you're teaching online that you do have to get it right the first time, and you do have to work extra hard because you're teaching online. You don't have a second chance. You don't have a third chance. Those students aren't going to be actually physically coming into a classroom over the course of a semester or over the course of a year. You have one shot. You have to maximize that shot. If you think in terms of like a sales pitch, right? You've got your elevator pitch. You only have, say, 3 to 5 minutes to capture someone's attention, hook them in, and convince them that whatever it is you're selling is worth buying. You have to get them or they're out. Well, the same is true. It takes a lot of effort, and we have to put that effort in when we're teaching online to keep their attention and keep them engaged, to keep them excited and winning every step of the way, or they're not going to finish the lesson, they may not finish the course, and they may not ever come back to you.
Even worse than 2009 Becca sitting in geology scrolling Facebook while, you know, in an auditorium full of people who are also scrolling Facebook and the professor trying to teach, you are now in the year 2024 or whatever year you're listening to this in, you have an even more distracted learner. Because back in that year, I didn't even have a smartphone. I didn't have an iPhone.
My gosh.
And now you are teaching people who are constantly getting bombarded with notifications. They have so many open tabs going on. They have life happening. That's the beauty of teaching online, is you can soak it in wherever you are. So we want to give you 3 tips to showing up online and how to hold people's attention. And you're going to want to stay tuned, because we are bringing in Becca Foxwell, an incredible guest who is a former Teacher of the Year, Pennsylvania. She teaches online now, and gosh, she's got some great information to share with us. So here are our 3 tips on holding your learner's attention when you show up online.
All right. So our first tip to hold someone's attention and prevent learning fatigue is, number one, you have to teach the right people the right content. If you are teaching the right people the wrong content, that is the first way that they are going to disconnect, get learning fatigue, and they are out the door.
They will lose attention quickly because they're like, oh wait, I'm in the wrong class. Did you ever do that? Did you ever show up in the wrong class? That was one of my biggest fears in college, because it was such a big campus at LSU.
Oh,
I remember once or twice like walking in and being like, oh, this was not the class I'm supposed to be in, right?
You know me so well that you know the answer to that question is
that's
no.
A no. That's a no from Jack.
I still have. So every single year in college, I had a planner. And so I would plan ahead where, because I mean, it's a huge campus. And mm-hmm. So I would plan where it is. I would look it up. I would know where I was going. So no, Becca, I never went
so
to
funny.
The wrong class.
I never once pre-planned like, this is how I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk through the quad at this angle and this side. Never, ever.
You got to maximize your step count.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, I had a bicycle.
Yeah, you did.
Oh well.
But that's the point really, is like you show up and that, you know, that instant, like, you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, audience, do you know what I'm talking about? That instant like flushed face embarrassment of like, oh my gosh, I'm in the wrong class. And you instantly just want to get up and leave. That's basically what's happening. When you draw in the wrong audience into your course, or you're teaching the wrong audience on a podcast or on YouTube, you will instantly feel them exiting the room because your views go down and sales go down. You're teaching the wrong people. Even though you're teaching the right information, you're teaching the wrong people.
Yeah. And if you haven't listened to last week's episode, which is the episode letter G for growing an audience, we actually dive deeper into this whole thing, because a lot of times, and we even mentioned this in the episode, you think you've got the right audience. When people say, hey, in order to sell an online course, you got to know the right people. You think you may have it right, but do you? We actually have a free resource, a free tool that you can download right now that will help you nail your target audience. And more than that, define your teaching topic. Because if you can connect the right content to the right people, you will sell more. And this is the biggest mistake most people make when they create an online course and they're not making the sales that they want to sell. Or if they're writing an online course and they think they know that they're writing it to the right people, when they miss their target audience and they don't teach that audience the right stuff. We have made a very free, simple tool to make it easy for you, guaranteed. It will walk you through our very simple framework. It's called the Course Clarity Framework. You can get it at teachwellonline.com/framework. Or check the show notes below.
You need this framework.
You do.
This is step one, is to make sure you're teaching the right people the right content.
And we've worked with a lot of clients. We used to film courses for people, produce courses for people. And this used to be the main thing that I would walk people through. And the biggest thing that they struggled with was, who's going to buy my course? Mm-hmm. And am I teaching them? And I would rather you know without a doubt that you're teaching the right people the right stuff than to hope that your great idea in your head that you're converting into a course will make you a lot of money.
Right. And there's a lot of time lost. And then you start to doubt yourself. And then sometimes you'll just ghost the whole project. But if you start with this first concept, you will hold people's attention when you teach the right people the right content.
The second tip, you have to write good lessons. And all of the problems of learning fatigue that we just talked about, they live here.
Let me just ease your mind. Maybe you're like, Chad, I did not go to college. I did not get any education on how to write a lesson plan. I just want to tell you, I have a master's in the art of teaching. I have a higher ed degree in education, and I still struggled with writing lesson plans. This is like a skill. It is, and it's something that you can learn. And from an educator to an educator, you, an online educator, you can learn this, I promise you. So don't leave us right now if you're like, lesson plan, oh, I give up.
No, but the single best way to hold someone's attention, to keep them engaged, to prevent learning fatigue, is to write a good lesson. And this isn't so much about theatrics or being exciting or energetic, although that does help, but that sometimes tends to be where we go to first. So you've got your course written out, you have your idea, you're ready to teach it and to film it, and maybe somebody comes alongside you and encourages you. Okay, make sure you smile. Make sure you sit up. Make sure you act excited to teach it. But the thing is, if you have really great, well-written content, then you can actually afford to not be as great at delivering it if your content is so good, which is why here at Teachwell Online, we promote writing good content, having good content that connects with the right people, because then you don't have to be an expert in theatrics or teaching voice or delivering or anything like that. Although I will say it does help. Mm-hmm. But if you have really good written content, there's a lot of grace on the delivery side.
I want to walk you through in like a rapid style fashion, just a 4-point framework to how to teach a good lesson. And please know, we are going to dive into this more in future episodes, but we can't say go write a good lesson and then just leave you with nothing. So very, very quickly, if you're taking notes or open up your notes app on your phone, there are 4 quick points on how to write a good lesson. Number one, hook them in. Hooks are powerful. Number two is to teach a bite-sized piece. Go listen to episode B on breaking information down into bite-sized pieces. Point number three is deliver a win, some type of action that they can take and actually go do when they're done with your lesson. And then wrap that lesson up by leaving them wanting more. That's a very quick breakdown of the 4-part lesson plan.
Okay, so if you want to hold people's attention and if you want to prevent learning fatigue, you have to make sure, number one, that you're teaching the right people the right content. Number two, you have to make sure that you're writing a good lesson, that it has a good flow, that it brings the learner in from the beginning of the lesson all the way to the end, and it holds their attention. But then number three, we can't discount this at all. You do have to consider how you're delivering it. Nobody wants to sit and listen to a boring, monotone lecture.
Now, you and me, we're privately listening to this podcast together, okay? I know you got your earbuds in, or maybe you're in the car, and it's okay for you to raise your hand and confess this, okay? How many of you thought about the delivery before you even thought about the content? How many of you immediately were like, well, is this going to be face to camera? Is it going to be slides? Is it going to be a mixture? Is it going to be a combo?
What's going to be behind me? What right. colors am I going to use
what
on my
slide? What studio should I rent out? What photographer?
What music what am I going to use for the intro? Yeah.
What videographer should I get? What kind of mic stand do I need? How many of you thought that? And you know what? Every single one of your hands should have gone up, because it's natural to think through, okay, well, if I'm going to have a course, let me think about how it should look. But we want to shake up that system and say, actually, no, don't immediately go over to how am I going to deliver it? Because if that's the route you go, I'm not saying it's destined to fail, but you're not putting the priority of number one, teaching the right people the right content, and then getting into your content and finally looking at the deliverability.
You should only focus on good delivery when you have something good to deliver.
We have a really, like, the story just still brings a pang into my heart. I'm like, oh, why did they do that? But back when Chad and I had a production company, the course company, and we filmed and produced people's online courses, the main reason that we stopped this was because we had clients who paid us a lot of money. I'm talking like between $10,000 to $20,000 to produce their entire course. And one of the courses that we filmed, it was the best production we had ever delivered.
It was beautiful.
Absolutely stunning.
And you may be sitting here real quick and just, you're like, what? $10,000, $20,000 to produce a course? Like, you need to think masterclass style. Like, mm-hmm. we had a full-on camera setup. We created set
designs.
Not just
a camera. We had three cameras.
It was a big deal because we believed at the time, and we still believe now, yeah. right? That if you're going to teach online, you should do it well. You should do it right from the get-go.
And there are some people who want to have that high level. You don't have right. to have that high level, but right. there are people who want that. And this particular business wanted that high level. And so it was the best, most polished, incredible look we've ever experienced. And they sat down and they couldn't speak. And we found out the reason they couldn't speak was because they rewrote their content the day before filming. They put all of the prep work into what to wear, what the background should look like, the stylization of it, the camera work of it, the setup of it, the makeup, the hair, all of that. And then when it came time to deliver the content, there was nothing. And then the course actually never even launched. And that's so sad. And the reason that we're sharing that is to really emphasize this point that if you are considering the deliverability before the audience, before the teaching concepts, before the teaching content, it's destined to fail. You will not get it off the shelf because you've thought about it in the wrong order. And that's why I'm so glad we're here in our experience to tell you that. We want to introduce our guest to you.
Becca Foxwell is an enthusiastic educator who spent 8 years teaching first grade and was honored to be named the 2016-2017 Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year. Now, as a stay-at-home mom to two truck-loving little boys, she's on a mission to help teachers learn to calm the chaos in their hearts, lives, and classrooms through time-saving resources and uplifting content. She also has an upcoming new podcast for teachers called Lessons Learned. We met her at a mastermind that Becca and I and Becca, the other Becca were in. I got a lot of Beccas on this episode, but we met her. We got to hear her story. We got to work with her. She is truly amazing. She is a very talented and seasoned and experienced educator. Yep. And she has a wealth of experience. And when Becca and I sat down and thought through who could we get to speak into holding people's attention, we immediately thought of her because we benefited from it. I remember when she was sharing with us, like, you couldn't stop listening to her. She's just got it, if you know what I'm talking about. But also, I just highly respect anybody that can hold elementary school kids' attention
yes.
for any period of time. And Becca can do it like no other.
And yeah, you're going to love it. So let's jump over to our conversation with Becca.
All right, Becca, you're amazing. Absolutely amazing, because I was driving to the gym this morning, and normally in the morning I go to the gym. Becca has Becca time at home, and I am bothering her because I'm texting her because I was thinking about this podcast, which is what I normally do. And I was texting Becca and I was like, we've got to get the other Becca on this podcast. She's perfect for this. We've got to do this. And literally that was this morning. A few hours later, here you are. You jumped on. So excited that you're here with us. So before we get into what we're going to talk about, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm so excited. I love you and Becca. So when you guys reached out, I felt very, very honored. But yeah, a little bit about my background is I was a first grade teacher for 8 years. Loved it. I always knew I wanted to be a teacher and a mom. And now I get to be a stay-at-home mama. But I just love teaching. I love helping kids and people get those light bulbs to go off. So while I was first grade teacher, I also was nominated and ended up winning to become the 2016/2017 Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year. And so that was a huge honor and really exciting, but kind of started shifting like my teaching, not just towards students, but really started that shifting my teaching to helping teachers. Just seeing a huge need that teachers need to be encouraged. Teachers need to be, just have someone that like guides them along on their journey too. So that's kind of what I do right now as I'm a stay-at-home mom to two young truck loving boys that I love getting to be with, but is that I now get to help teachers and kind of journey alongside of them to help them learn how to calm the chaos and just to be successful both in their life, in their classrooms as teachers, but also just having a good balance of also having just a good balance in life in general. So I love getting to do that.
You were definitely, as Chad said, like the, oh my gosh, holding people's attention. Oh, we have to go with someone who taught younger elementary grades. And then it was also, you know, traveling the state to talk to adults. And so, yeah, you definitely have a lot of authority when it comes to how the heck do you hold someone's attention, not just a 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old, but also adults as well.
Well, thank you guys. It's something that I love getting to do. And when you kind of think about like, teaching in general, I always like getting back to the heart of teaching. And I think that applies whether you're a first grade classroom teacher or like now as I'm in the space of helping teachers or like what you guys are helping people do is how to teach well online is you have to get back to like remembering what the goal of teaching is. And the goal of teaching is like all instruction, the goal is to help students be successful. And so part of like, not only do you need to deliver it well, but I think we have to keep that heart in mind is that like we as teachers, again, whatever facet we are guides. Like we are guiding students into success in our instruction. And so it's going to be really important as we even talk about delivering well, that we remember the heart of that. I was kind of thinking of this story analogy, but I was thinking of like, you know, a lot of time when we get into the online space, even teaching, and people are kind of looking for some ways like a fairy godmother. They're like, just sprinkle your dust on me and transform me, right? But that's not what true teaching is. Like, it sounds great to have that it'd be like, oh, just give me your magic and I can do whatever you do. But the heart of a teacher is that we are guides. And so we're more of like, we're coming alongside of them and saying, hey, I want to walk with you in this transformation process. I want to help you as we go step by step to teach you how to transform your life. Because that is what education is about. It's not about information transmission. It's about life transformation. And transformation takes time. And it takes like purposeful step by steps to teach them so that you leave them well. So that when you're done, I was thinking about Mary Poppins. I was like, Mary Poppins came in to the family, taught them all her things. And then when she knew the family was good, she left them. They were like, where are you going? She's like, you don't need me anymore. And so that's what we're doing as teachers is we are helping them in that process. So as we keep talking about delivering well, I think it's important to remember that the heart of all instruction is student success. So as you're planning your lessons, as you're delivering them, the student is the heart of what we do.
I love that you start with that too, because we can't miss that. And there's an added challenge too, because yes, 100% agree. Like, and you get that ability to do that, like when you're in person, in a classroom with people, we care about that transformation. And we can still do that same thing, even if we're teaching digitally online. We have to still bring that heart into our online teaching, because honestly, people can tell if it's not in you. People can tell if like you're just trying to regurgitate information. One of the things that we talk about here at Teach Well Online is that really information online is not valuable. It's you, and it's right. What you have to bring to it.
Yep.
And I literally could not think of a better person to ask about tips and tricks and thoughts on just that delivery part of it, because we have gone into a lot of detail here on our podcast about making sure that you're teaching the right people the right stuff. Making sure that you've written good lessons, right? That's what's going to hold people's attentions more than anything. But then there is this piece where it's like, you kind of have to deliver it well too. Like Becca, the other Becca, I have two Beccas here today.
I know, like, we're going to confuse you all.
We've talked about this difference between teaching and talking, right? Like we can talk, but teaching is guiding and bringing that heart into what it is. So what are some top of mind thoughts that you have that you could maybe share with our audience about how to deliver in a way that's engaging? This can even go, I'll say real quick too, like we first met you at a mastermind And I remember your mastermind, like you didn't just teach well, but like when you started to put your presentations on the screen and they were colorful, like I could have just lived in your presentation. Just, I mean, like that's a part of delivery too.
100%, 100%.
It's true. The visual. And I think when you think about like our five senses, so even like in the classroom, you know, you have the students right in front of you to get feedback and you don't have that online space, but you're still dealing with people. And so you need to think through those different avenues of like, so if you have a video component where you have slides or something like that, that you want that to be visually captivating and captivating your audience, and thinking through stories and thinking through illustrations. I'm going to start off with just a quick little story here. Last summer, I was at Costco. We do once a month Costco hauls because it's about 45 minutes away. It was a hot summer day. I had my two young boys. The cart is overflowing with toilet paper and you know, grocery stuff. And I remember to auto start my van on the way out, feeling like such a proud person that I remember to do this. I started to get it to cool off, got the boys in, loaded the car up, got into the car to take off, and the car isn't going anywhere. And I was like, oh no, you've got to be kidding me. The hottest day of the summer, I'm stuck with my two young children in a vehicle that isn't going anywhere. At least the air was on. So it was like troubleshooting and realizing, oh, the key wasn't in the like ignition. Like we still have a car that like the key doesn't have to just be with you. It has to like literally go into the ignition and you have to engage the vehicle in order for that vehicle to go somewhere to take off. And so like, as you're thinking even about your delivery of your lessons, you need to be thinking about that is that your job as a teacher is to engage your students in the learning process. So you really want to think about what are the keys that you have at your fingertips to put into their hearts and minds to turn it on so that it goes somewhere. Otherwise, if you don't captivate your audience, your students, at the very beginning of a lesson, you're going to lose them. You're not going to go anywhere. It might feel like it's there. It's like my car was running. It was idling. The air conditioning was thankfully working, but we weren't getting anywhere. We weren't going anywhere. So I think my biggest tip is to think through, like, we called it in education, the hook. At the beginning of a lesson, you have this hook that you want to like engage the students in. Even when you think you're fishing, like you're hooking, you're getting the bait, like, come on, fishy, come on and take it, you know? And that's what you're wanting to do with your students as well as you teach them and guide them in this process of transforming their life in whatever area you're teaching them in. But I think, like, again, because it's a little different than in person, but I think one of the most powerful ways that you can do this is through stories. I think like stories are so powerful.
I was glued to it the whole time you were talking. I was like, oh, parking lot car. I got this. I'm in a parking lot car all the time. Like, yeah.
Exactly. Yes. And I could have just said, oh, you need to engage your students at the beginning of the lesson. That is still true no matter how I deliver it. But if I want it to be memorable, if I want it to stick with my students, if I want to help it transform their learning, I need to include those stories and those illustrations. Because really what you want to do is you want to bring the information you are teaching to life. And that you do put in your own spin and your own stories, your own things. But also I was thinking too about like when I'm reading to my toddler, if I read him a book that had no pictures, like he's not interested. If I read it in a monotone voice, I'm losing him. Like he's going to be wiggling and getting out. But if I have a picture book that is filled with vivid illustrations and I'm using fun voices as I read each of the different characters, my two-year-old will sit in my lap for even sometimes up to 20 minutes. And so you want to think about that too, as you're constructing your lessons and delivering them, that you need to bring your lessons to life. So think through those illustrations, those stories, things you can do.
One of the things that I can see someone being tempted to think is like, but I'm not teaching a two-year-old. It's still the reality of when you do come from, you know, you think back to even college courses or high school classes that you took, like it was boring. It was straight up boring, right? Like why not include some of these things? But even when you transition, because as Chad talks about, the internet is a different kind of classroom. It requires a totally different set of teaching rules. Last night, we were talking to our oldest daughter, Ellie, about, oh my gosh, I don't know why we were talking about cameras and talking, but anyways, she wanted to know something about like, well, why would you need to say it? Like, why does the person need to say it like that? Why can't they just like speak normal? I was like, well, because when you speak to a camera, you have to like really exaggerate. You have to like overly deliver because you have to know that the camera almost like detracts and microphones sometimes detract from like, or subtract from what you're actually trying to say or deliver. And so even if you're thinking, but I'm teaching an online course to grown adults, it's the same principle as you just said about reading to a two-year-old. If you're going to read or talk with a monotone voice and you're not engaging them with vivid, bright colors, with illustrations, with stories, you're losing them. And then they're not going to go out there in the world and talk about how great your course is. They're going to talk about how awful it was, and then no one's going to buy it.
Exactly. Exactly. I always said too that, like, the, and even in a classroom, in an online space, the energy you give your students is like that energy you're going to get back from them. And again, for that, like, you want them to fall in love with you. Like, that's what the different, like, factor is from anyone else that's teaching the same kind of content is you. Like, there's only one you. So you need to bring you into it and have that energy and that excitement for the content that you're teaching. Because like you said, if not, they're not going to care about it either. They're going to get very bored, just like a two-year-old that doesn't have fun pictures and fun voices.
Have you ever taught a class or a lesson that the students just did not want to learn?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what teacher hasn't had a lesson that is flat?
When I was student teaching, I had to go teach like this preschool class about turtles. I was a music person. I didn't care about turtles, but that was part of like my assignment. And what you just said, literally, I lived it because I had to show up and I had this lesson plan about turtles, and I hated every bit of it. And so literally I had to get in front of these young kids and I just had to be goofy and silly and make them like me first. And once they liked me, Mr. Chad and everything like that, then they would actually listen to me about the turtles, right?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. You're building that know, like, and trust with people. And so having that energy and that presence, especially like you said, Becca, has to even be even more on the camera because you don't have them in front of you to get that immediate feedback like you do in the classroom.
Yes. Side note, Chad, if we could find footage of that, I would love to see it. That'd be great.
I think I made it disappear forever.
Yeah. I love it, Chad.
When you, Becca, when you were going around and talking to fellow teachers, what were some of the, I know that you had these, you just maybe got to like dig back into your brain. What were some of the things that you were encouraging teachers that like, hey, when you're not feeling it, when you're having a bad day, like, because the same is true for an online course creator. Some days you're not feeling like you want to go live. Some days you're not feeling like, oh shoot, I said I was going to record this new module. I really don't have it in me today. How would you say, and what would you do to encourage this person?
I think that, I mean, in some ways there's a little bit of like fake it till you make it. I mean, there's some days, like even as a first grade teacher, that like you walk into a first grade classroom and you had a really rough morning or you had some news you got or whatever. Like, I remember there was Monday morning, I just received the day before that my brother at the time had just been diagnosed with cancer, and he thankfully is okay and is cancer free. But I remember like that Monday morning, my heart was so heavy, and like I had to go teach 20 plus first graders about math and science and reading, and they don't need to carry that. Like, they don't need to know that burden. And so you have to go on, put that huge smile on, and just like almost just put that stuff out of your mind. Like, in some ways, just kind of close off that part of you and just be there. Again, going back to the heart of education is students. So you're there for the students, of loving them and serving them well. And so in some ways, there's times where you do just have to be like, if you come on and you're in that state of like, woe is me, like that's not going to get anyone success. So, and there's time, you know, you don't want to just shove down your own emotions always, but there is time too that you do kind of, you need to show up and just bring your best for the students that you're serving. Because again, like our job as teachers is to guide them. So just doing that, I think too, like when we think back to having really good lesson plans, if I had already done the legwork, it wasn't like I showed up then on Monday morning and was like, oh no, what am I teaching today? I already knew what I was teaching. So it's a lot easier if you're not feeling it to already have the structured lesson plan ready to deliver, ready to go. You know how you're guiding your students. So if you show up and are trying to guide them and don't have a clue what you're doing, it's a lot harder to kind of like just wing it then.
Yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot for a second. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But if we have a listener who is sitting in front of a mic and they are about to record their online lesson, or they're sitting, this is even bigger, maybe they're sitting in front of a camera and they're about to record a lesson, or they're sitting in front of some slides and you were with them in the room and they were about to hit record, rapid fire real quick, what kind of pointers would you give them to make sure that they engaged what we like to say their teacher voice and their teacher persona that really just captured and projected to their students? Like, what kind of rapid fire advice would you give them right before they record?
I would say stand up and do like 10 good jumping jacks to get your body going.
Love it.
I mean, like get moving. I mean, we did that in the classroom all the time too with brain breaks. Like if you're struggling, if you're not feeling it, like get your body moving somehow. Throw on some really good peppy music, like right before you're about to record, like set what your environment you want to be feeling, set your environment to be that. So put that music on, get up and moving around, I think would be like my first thing off the top of off my head.
So some lessons can drag a little bit more than others, right? Everybody would much rather learn something that's fun and then go do, but sometimes you kind of have to establish some understanding and some knowledge before you can go do stuff. And how can you keep the lessons moving and kind of keep your teaching kind of progressing through without the lesson feeling like it's getting bogged down or dragging?
I think that one of the biggest things that I come back to on this is to keep it simple. For us, the people that know it well, we sometimes can want to get down into the weeds of things too much in one short time. You guys have been good at teaching this to us, is that keep one thing per lesson, right? That when you think of like a butterfly transforming, again, we go back to education is about transformation. The butterfly doesn't just like become a cocoon and the next day fly out as a butterfly. Like there is steps and processes that happen on that journey for that caterpillar to be transformed. Like it's got to eat a bunch and then it's got to find a good leaf and then it's got to build its cocoon and then it's got to be in there and resting and then it breaks free and flies free. And so when you're thinking of your lesson, if you're thinking of a course, that one lesson is one part of that transformation process. So you're going to give them one clear goal that they are working on. And that's going to help you also keep it more simple so that it's not like this, like 3-hour lesson that you're doing. Because if you're going to give someone 3-hour lesson, your students are going to hit frustration level and they're going to give up. And you don't want that. Whether, again, it's in the classroom, this is good practice across the board, whether it's the classroom or it's online, again, your goal as the teacher is student success. So the most important thing you do is keep it simple, step-by-step process, and just keep that lesson moving. If you find that you're starting to get bogged down in the details, you might need to go back and look at your lesson plan again and think, ooh, I might have too much in this lesson, and this might need to be 2 lessons. This might give me 3 lessons instead of trying to do it all at one time.
It all goes back to the content. It all goes back to the content. The last question that I have for you, just to kind of wrap it all up, you know, we, especially because we have all worked now with teachers, helping them teach and things like that. And it's easy to identify teachers that maybe they don't quite have it or they have to work a little harder at it. But is there any danger in somebody maybe trying too hard? I feel like this is a very common thing where it's just like, okay, you hear people say, okay, we've got to be engaging. We've got to be exciting. We got to keep people like motivated through the lesson. And there are some dangers, I feel like, to maybe trying too hard. We see people that like they get in front of people for the first time and it's just like not being yourself. Like what?
Yeah. What to do? I think that again goes back to like what you just said, Chad, is like, you have to still be you. Yes. So like I was going as teacher of the year and training other teachers how to do their job with excellence, how to be an excellent teacher. I was not training them to be Becca Foxwell. I was training them with the best practices of teaching and to be who they are created to be. There's only one you, and you're the only one that can deliver that. And so it does still coming back to like, you have to be who you are. So yes, you still need the energy. You still need to have the excitement. You still need to have the visuals and the stories and the illustrations to bring your content to life. But you still need to be who you are. I would say another thing is to not copy anybody else. So don't try to be, don't try to be somebody else, because you're going to be found out really quick, because they're going to be like, that seems like so-and-so. And again, there's only one you. So, and that really is like your superpower, is that there is only one you. So when you're delivering that content, still be you. You have the best practices, but be you.
You have a lot of wisdom and knowledge to share in that too, because of your experience in not just like listening and looking and observing at teachers, but also like you've been in the online space for a while, selling your TPT products, even in like the teacher Instagram world. Like you have amassed a lot of followers, and I know you follow, just knowing your heart, I know you, that like truly if people like follow you, you're like, oh, I want to be your friend and I want to know you. It's like you've seen a lot of people.
Friends.
You've seen a lot of people. people. And so it carries a lot of weight for you to say like, yeah, be you, because you truly have been who you've been created and designed to be. And so I also just want to say, we've said teacher a lot through this. And if you're listening to this podcast, you are a teacher, whether you have a degree hanging on the wall or not, you've decided to teach online and therefore you are a teacher. And so everything you've shared today has been so helpful for every single one of us. And I thank you for that.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so fun, guys. Thank you so much.
And by the way, if you're like, wow, this chick needs to be like the third co-host of this podcast or have her own podcast because she's just so good, your wish will be granted because Becca has her own podcast coming out soon.
That's true. Very excited.
So while we wait for your anticipated podcast, can you tell us where we can connect with you?
Absolutely. Yes. So right now you can find me across all the platforms at Foxwell Forest. So FOXWELLFOREST, Foxwell Forest. And that is where you'll find me in my teaching resources. I sell my teaching resources on a website called Teachers Pay Teachers. And the new podcast, Lessons Learned, will be coming out soon. So very excited for that.
Hey, thanks for joining us, Becca.
Yeah, thank you.
You know how I said you should not be thinking about the deliverability before you think about the audience and before you think about the content? Well, if you've already checked those first two boxes, it actually is time to think about that deliverability, and what platform you go on matters, which is why we highly encourage you to check out Kajabi. In fact, we have a free 30-day trial link to Kajabi. You're not going to find this on their site. This is our special affiliate link where you can try out the Kajabi platform free for 30 days. This is exactly where you need to be if you want to host your course or your membership. You can even have your website, your blog, your email list, everything in one spot. We've been using Kajabi since 2018. It's where we've sold over $2 million in courses. We love it.
And if you think about how a lot of the social media companies, their one goal is to just keep you hooked on the platform at all time. I really believe Kajabi has worked really, really hard to keep you in it and to enjoy it as a learner and as a teacher.
Absolutely. So if you want to check out this free 30-day trial on Kajabi, check out the show notes or head to teachwellonline.com/Kajabi. That's K-A-J-A-B-I.
So in this episode, we talked about if you want to teach well online, you have to hold their attention, hold the learner's attention. You have to do this in order to prevent learning fatigue. If your learner gets tired of learning from you, even in a lesson, they're probably going to get tired of learning from you in the course and they're going to be out. In order to do that, it's important first to make sure that you are teaching the right people the right content. And if you need any help with that, again, I want to encourage you to get our free course clarity framework at teachwellonline.com/framework. That's going to help you nail your target audience and your teaching topic to make sure that you're going to make money selling online.
Yep, you're going to need that.
Second, you have to write good lessons. You have to write a lesson that will bring the learner in and carry them through to the end and enjoy every step of the way. Finally, you have to consider how you deliver that message, whether that is through slides, whether that's through face to camera, whether that's through an exciting teaching voice, how you look. Delivery does matter, but it only matters once you have good written content.
I want to thank Becca Foxwell for joining us on the podcast this week. If you have missed any of these episodes, I want to encourage you to go back, start at the letter A and zip all the way through back to letter H. This podcast, we have so much fun getting this prepared for you every single week. And we are committed to being here with you. So if you would do us a huge favor, scroll down wherever you are listening in the podcast app, especially, and give us a rating and review. We would love to hear what this podcast has meant to you.
And remember, anyone can teach well online
if they know how.